Fried, we'll open up with a general question and looking for general statements out of you. What did you make of opening night last night?
Well, the Seattle-Vegas game was great. It was a, yes. It was a great game. Unfortunately, we got a bit of a dud in the first one. I have to say, Merrick, you're a good sport to post that post that animation tweet today.
So we'd on our podcast last week. This is Elliot. I mean, you probably better describe it better because it's an old high school pool that you used to do the in season Stanley Cup, and so it was you, me, Carolyn Cameron, host of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, and David Amber, all doing the in season Stanley Cup. So the Cup starts with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then whoever beats Tampa becomes a new Cup champion. And that just follows. So whoever plays Pittsburgh next, I think it's the Florida Panthers, they have a shot at the Stanley Cup. And then at the end, whoever has the Stanley Cup, they win the pool. We each throw in $100. Last team standing, last person standing wins the pool. Did I get it right?
Yes. And Amber has the Panthers, by the way. So he's looking forward to Thursday's game. But, you know, so last night, and the best thing about it was we were joking about it on the podcast, and you said no Crosby, no Malkin. It's a 2-foot putt for Tampa. And I think after you tweeted last night what a dumb pool this is, and I quote tweeted your zero, I think the first reply was it was a 2-foot putt. Yep. So people are paying attention to this.
Oh, dude,
so,
I was getting the gifts of people making 2-foot putts like all night long as I was going.
Oh,
I was
that's
watching
great.
I'm watching the Vegas Seattle game, and like every 2 seconds, someone else is tweeting me a gif of someone tapping in a putt for par.
Well, you know what? It's good because I'm glad people are having fun with it, and I'm glad people are involved. But you know, there was one thing. So we aired later in the second game. The post-game interview with Brian Boyle and Emily Kaplan from ESPN. And Boyle was very emotional, and he had to collect himself.
I thought he was going to break down. I thought he was going to break down.
He stopped, right? He stopped himself, right? But the other thing that I thought was interesting was his first answer was about how Sullivan prepared them for that game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you only get one shot. I don't know if surprise people is the right word, but you only get one shot to start strong, right? Especially if you've got guys missing. And they forechecked Tampa into oblivion last night. And you could tell by the way Boyle talked, Sullivan grabbed their attention right away and said, this is how we're going to play. And I don't know if they're going to be ready for it, meaning Tampa, but we're going to be ready for it. And, you know, that's why the guys won 2 cups. That's why the guy's the U.S. Olympic coach this year. You know, the players have to execute and the players have to buy in. It's pretty clear they did. But Sullivan had that team ready to play last night. And I think, you know, this is a thing I think about a lot. I read it in one of Tony La Russa's books. He had a player. I can't remember if it was David Freese or Alan Craig, but it was the year they won the World Series in 2011. And the player was getting sat out for as a defensive replacement late in games. And the player came to La Russa to complain about it. And La Russa told him all the things he was able to do. He said, look, you're playing 7 innings of every game. If you're losing, we're staying in. If you're coming up to bat early the next inning, I try to keep you in. You know, look at all the opportunity you do get. And I've always kind of thought about that. To me, so much about life is mentality. And, you know, Mike Sullivan could have said, okay, we don't have Crosby, we don't have Malkin, woe is me. But he wasn't doing that. He was like, guys, we're going to surprise them because we're going to be ready to play. And to me, that's what good coaching is. Convince your players that they can win, that they can find a way. And Pittsburgh not only won last night, they won big, although I'm convinced that John Cooper had the over.
And that's why I kept Vasilevsky out and kept surrendering empty net. Although I agree with that, pulling goalies early. And I think that that's going to become earlier and earlier. Patrick Waugh used to do it. And hey, listen, ironically enough, he was a goaltender himself. I know it makes a lot of the old school hockey people really uncomfortable seeing early goalie pulls, but it just makes sense. It just completely makes sense. You're down 3-0. Why are you keeping your guy in net? That's never made sense to me.
By the way, I had one of the worst broadcast moments last night. Like talking about Vasilevskiy in the first period, and then he just caves in 12 seconds into the second.
I know. There was. I looked at that game and I said, "That's the Pittsburgh Penguins just flat out outworking the Tampa Bay Lightning from the opening puck drop. Like that's all that was going to be. Like they have skill, we have will. Boom. Let's see what's going to happen here. Can our will beat their skill?" And then you know we got a much better game in the second game. How did you see that Chandler Stephenson goal?
I didn't like it, but you know, as it was happening, I got a text from someone, and they said, "You're going to go on air and say you don't like this goal, aren't you?" And I said, "You're right. I'm going to go on air and I'm going to say I don't like this goal." And you know, he reminded me when they kind of had a directive about this, and I think it was the first year we had the rights, so I think that's 14-15. They kind of changed their directive about this, and they talked about how they wanted more of these goals to count because they wanted more goals. So it really has to be like you basically have to do like a 60-yard field goal attempt to get called for this. And so I guess it's consistent. It's one of those things, like you look at it, it doesn't look right. And I'm still not sure that should be a goal. But they want goals to count, and unless it's really egregious, they're going to count it.
See, to me, that's still a skill play, and what it comes down to for me is I'm fine with – listen, first of all, the sensitivity around kicking goals in is around safety of the netminder because they don't want people with these knives on their feet to be jumping all over
100%
for the fear of anyone getting cut, and I understand that. So the way I look at it is, to me, and I don't even mind if you kick it – as long as your skate never comes off the ice. And Chandler Stephenson's right skate never comes off the ice. Does he redirect it?
Until after.
It? I mean,
until after.
As long as the blade, at least part of the blade, Elliot, stays on the ice when you're in the process of that motion, then I'm fine with it. Like, I have that same sensitivity to it. No one wants to see goaltenders get cut. Like, we've seen too many incidents. Tucker Tynan's come back in Niagara in the OHL, thankfully, and he's playing so great. But that was a scary moment that we saw not too long. That could have ended his career. We don't want skates around the goaltenders. We don't want those sharp knives around them. But if, like Chandler Stephenson play, the skate is on the ice. Does he turn it? Yes. Does he redirect it? Yes. Can you call that a kick? Well, now we're getting into a semantic argument about what is a kick. And again, that's all going to be different because you're going to have a different standard than I have. I'm going to have a different standard than Matt Marchese, than Lance Kennedy. Like, everyone's going to have a different standard for what is a kick. So I'm fine with that as long as the skate stays on the ice. But that might just
be... Yeah, I mean, everybody's different, right? And I get that. At the end of the day, they want goals to count. You just can't help but look at that and say, it just doesn't look right. Whether or not it is right or wrong, you look at that and you say, that looks weird.
Yeah, it's just because all through history, all through hockey history, right? We've just been sort of conditioned to know that looks wrong and it's got to be wrong. You can't use your feet to score goals. Tonight, Canadian teams in action. Toronto Maple Leafs facing off against the Montreal Canadiens. No Matthews for the Maple Leafs, no Ilya Mikheyev. Adam Brooks claimed by Montreal. Marner was on the ice, so everybody exhales in Toronto. What do you look for?
Yeah, we'll see if he plays.
Ryan Poehling, by the way, sent to Laval, AHL Laval.
Yes. And I guess Brooks is not going to play tonight.
Yes, that's what I believe as well. How do you look at this one? What are the stories for you?
You know, I think we all want to see. I don't know what to make of Montreal. I really don't. I thought that, you know, obviously the Suzuki signing yesterday was big, and the more I thought about it, you know, they've had so many rough things happen to them this offseason. The loss of Weber, you know, Price going into the player assistance help area. You know, I think that you're kind of wondering, you know, how are they all doing? And especially the team, you're kind of looking around and saying, we went to the Stanley Cup final. And look what's missing tonight. And then you get this burst of good news yesterday that Suzuki has signed an extension. And I just think it's so good for them. I think it probably gives them a really nice boost going into the year. I'm really curious to see how Toronto comes out tonight. You know, they don't, as you said, they don't have Matthews. We're not sure if they're going to have Marner. But you know, I think for Tavares in particular, this is going to be a very big night. And at the end of the day, you just want to see them come out with some kind of killer instinct, right? Yeah. It's not going to make up for what happened last year in the playoffs, obviously. But you just want to see them come out and say, you know, you guys beat us and you embarrassed us. And, you know, we want a piece of flesh for that. Obviously, it's not going to be the biggest piece of flesh. It's not a piece of flesh that's going to matter in the grand scheme of things, but to your own pride. And I just think you want to see them come out like that and establish themselves and say, you got us last year when it mattered. You know, we got to establish a tone. And that's what I would, if I was them, that's what I'd expect to see.
You know, this is a different, I mean, outside of the core group of Maple Leafs players, this is a different feeling Maple Leafs team. This isn't, we're going with, you know, Bogosian and Thornton and then bringing in someone like Nick Foligno at trade deadline. Not looking for anyone with, you know, older birth certificates. They're looking for a type of player that is tougher to play against. That seems to still be the theme. They have a lot of skill in the core four, but it's Nick Ritchie, 25, Michael Bunting, 26, David Kampf, 26, Andre Kasha, who's, you know, injury prone. If he gets the hospital bracelet off, that could be a win for them. He's 25 years old. Mike Amadio, 25 years old. I mean, they do have a couple of elder statesmen in Spezza, Simmons, and John Tavares is in his early 30s. But it seems as if they've tried the experiment of bringing in the older veteran players, veterans in the room, and gone to 20-somethings that still have some snarl. It's a different feeling Maple Leafs team, even though it still has a lot of the same personnel.
I think they're faster too, Jeff. I think they're faster, and that's going to be a big deal. I thought last year is at points they look kind of slow considering all of the talent they have on that team, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was something they specifically, you know, tried to deal with.
Winnipeg and Anaheim tonight. Winnipeg sending Ville Heinola to the American Hockey League. Evgeny Svechnikov signs a one-year deal at $750,000. I mentioned Cole Perfetti off the top. His parents are in the air right now as we speak.
Nice.
To see their son play. As Cole Perfetti makes his debut, no Mark Scheifele tonight, still serving his suspension for the Jake Evans hit. He'll be in for game two. How do you look at the Winnipeg Jets this season? And we've talked about it on the podcast. I love them. Like, I think of all the Canadian teams, they might be top drawer.
Oh, I think they're the number one team in Canada on paper. They must be really loving all this. Like, in the last few days, I saw Saravelli did it too. Everybody's just exploding all over the Winnipeg Jets. We're all talking about how great we think they are. They must be looking at this and saying, okay, we did the whole off season. We stayed under the radar. We had little controversy, and now everybody is just, you know, salivating all over us.
Here come the expectations.
Hopefully they'll fall in love with all their press clippings. They must really love that. I think they're really good. Hellebuck's one of the best goalies in the league. Their defense is better. They've got a lot of people who can score. I'm also really interested in seeing Perfetti tonight. I'm really excited to watch him play. I love what they've done with Kopp. They've simply said, look, we're going to play out the year. We're going to see what happens. And if we can't keep you at the end of the year, well, we'll take a run with you this year because I think he's a hell of a player. Yeah. So I like what Winnipeg's decided to do. And, you know, like I said last night, no noise around them. You know, like last couple of years, there was Laine, there was Byfuglien, there was questions about leadership. You know, none of that is happening right now. It's just hockey, and they need that. And, you know, just Dubois. I'm really curious to see Dubois. You know, they don't have Scheifele tonight. He's finishing the last game of his suspension. So it's a big night for Dubois. And, you know, he basically said that last year was a total write-off. And I know a lot of people that's not acceptable, but it was. And so now he gets a chance to write a new chapter. And, you know, there's no excuses. There's nothing he can say that would let anyone believe, you know, he wasn't prepared for this year or he wasn't ready to go. And, you know, I'm really curious to see him. You know, Anaheim, You know, that's a team that is rebuilding. You know, I think the one thing that the Ducks have done that's kind of interesting is I think they've said to some of their veteran guys, we need more from you. Yes, we're trying to have more from the kids. Yes, we want them to take the next step. But you know what? Some of you guys haven't been that great lately either. And you know, some of these guys have contracts on the line. You know, Lindholm has a contract. It needs a new deal. Raquel needs a new deal. You know, they have guys here that are Josh Manson. Like, these are pretty significant people. Mm-hmm. And anytime you're playing for a contract, there's especially if you're a defenseman right now, there's motivation to be very good. So, I would look at it like, I don't think they're going to be great, obviously, but I think some of their best players are going to be motivated to be better.
You know, one of the things, I want to get to Dallas Eakins on this, one of the things that I liked that Steve Yzerman did was he re-upped Jeff Blashill, as there was a lot of noise around, look, this is a losing team, they can't win, and Yzerman stepped in and said, look, we're a rebuilding team, and that guy's my coach, and he gets a contract extension. I look at the Anaheim Ducks and I say, same thing. It's a general manager that was inactive in the offseason. It's a team that is rebuilding. It's a team that's, you know, basing a lot of what they do on players like Trevor Zegras, who I have winning the Calder, players like Jamie Drysdale, etc. My question, I suppose, is, do you think Bob Murray feels the same way about Dallas Eakins as Steve Yzerman felt about Jeff Blashill?
I don't know. I think that, look, like, Bob Murray's contract is up after this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you make any decision on the coach until you know what your situation is?
Well, that would be an ownership question.
And, you know, I think Murray and ownership there have a really good relationship. I think that the owner there trusts him. Now, I mean, ultimately results speak. And we'll see what the Ducks do this year. We'll see who improves on the Ducks this year. The one thing I think that's really interesting is that, I think the Ducks have always been very good at finding players, especially in the draft.
Yep.
I think that one thing they really looked at this year was modernizing some of the way they do things from there. And, you know, they brought in Jeff Solomon, who used to be with the Kings. He was an agent for a long time. He did a lot of that stuff with the Kings. And I think they really looked hard at, you know, I had an interview with Bob Murray, and I know some people didn't like some of the things he said about how the getting the information and processing it through their office hadn't always gone very well. But at the end of the day, he said, we realize this is a problem, and now we're going to fix it. And I just think the Ducks are going through a lot of changes off the ice. And we'll see how it handles itself on the ice. And I think ultimately, you know, like, I don't know how you can say one thing for sure over the other with the coach's future than until you know what the GM's future is. But one thing I do think is that Eakins and Murray are on the same page on one thing. And that is that their younger players have to get better and some of their veteran players have to return to form. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that links in everybody's futures.
Finish up with a couple of things here really quick.
You want to do some Vancouver-Edmonton tonight?
I do want to do some Vancouver-Edmonton, and I want to get to this. Okay, I'm gonna hit pause on this other thing, but let's do Vancouver-Edmonton.
Jack Rathbone jersey.
Oh, did you? I know he's your favorite player in the NHL now.
Yes, I am going to pick it up today. I bought it at a shop here in Toronto.
Excellent. Do you have, is it a home jersey, an away jersey?
Home jersey, the dark color. I like the dark.
Nice. Okay.
It's very slimming. I like dark colors because they're very slimming. I need that.
Lean and mean for this season, Elliot Friedman. Vancouver, Edmonton. A lot of pressure on Edmonton to do some more damage in the playoffs. When the window is open here with, you know, these two Ferraris that that Dave Tippett has to drive, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And Vancouver is a team that's, you know, listen, there may be no more Canadian team in the offseason that had more noise around it than Vancouver. I mean, there's always noise in Toronto. Montreal had its share of noise as well. but it's been noisy for the last few seasons in Vancouver. This offseason was the same, whether it was the Oliver Ekman-Larsson deal, whether it was the situations with Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, etc., some of the roster decisions, losing players on waivers. How do you read Vancouver going into this season?
I'm bullish on Vancouver. I like that division to me is really interesting. I think Vegas is really good. And then I think the Canadian teams, you know, like it was funny, like the reaction I got last night, we showed our playoffs and I have all four Canadian teams in the West making the playoffs. And, you know, the reactions I thought were really interesting. I had people say to me, you're too high on Vancouver. I had people say to me, you're too low on Edmonton. I had people saying that, you know, Calgary's not going to make the playoffs, which I disagree with. I think Calgary is going to be a solid, consistent, grinding team. And I have Markstrom winning the Vezina this year. And, you know, I was just really surprised by a lot of the reaction. Like I remember Mark Messier said one thing back in the first year. He always said, you know, that in the cap era, everybody has holes. So how do you overcome your holes? And, you know, I think Vancouver's looking at their defense, and defense is a team thing. They have to be better, especially against the Rush, than they were last year. But, like, I love Demko, and I think they're going to outscore a lot of their problems, or at least they have the chance to. I think they're a team that could do that. So I like them. You know, for me, Edmonton, you know, the one thing about them is last year, Smith, like Mike Smith for a good chunk of that season – was a Hart Trophy candidate. Like when I start to put together my ballot, you have like a long list, right? And yep. Mike Smith was on my long list. Now, obviously didn't finish ending up there, but he had a superhuman season last year. And I just think that, you know, he's got it's not always easy to gamble on a 40-year-old in goal. He's competitive as hell, and I really respect that about him. I just, you know, my question is, how's he going to be? And, you know, and I think that his play is going to be so important to what Edmonton's going to do and how Edmonton's going to be.
Okay, I want to finish on this quote. I'm glad we got here. We have about a minute and a half to do this. Who said this? Quote,
okay.
Having a big physical first night with the Rangers isn't where we want to be this year. We have a lot of goals. They have a lot of new faces, new personnel that I'm sure are going to try to make an impact on the game. If you ask them, this is a big rivalry now, so we will expect that.
Is it Ryan Reeves?
Other way.
Oh, Tom Wilson?
Bingo. Having a big physical first night with the Rangers isn't where we want to be this year. But will this be a big physical first night as the Washington Capitals face off against the New York Rangers tonight?
Well, I think there's going to be some disappointed fans if it isn't. But, you know, don't you think that the Capitals as a whole have probably talked amongst each other about how to handle this?
Yes.
Like, what if Laviolette tells them don't do it?
Here's the thing, though.
And I'm not saying that he will, but what if he does that?
No. I can understand Laviolette saying that too as a coach. Like, Tom, you don't have to do this. Like, don't. The only issue with it is if it were at MSG, it would be one thing, because you can chase Tom Wilson around the ice and he's not in front of his fans, and so it doesn't really matter. The thing is, if Reeves chases Wilson around the ice today, it's at their rink.
Do you think that any fan or Capital, any Capitals fan or any Capital player is going to care about that?
Yes.
Like, I don't.
I
do. You know, Jeff, I used to think that. I don't anymore. Like, some of us have evolved in our thinking, at least one person in this conversation.
Oh, I have scabs on my knuckles. I must have walked over here today.
You know, I just think that If the Capitals say to Wilson, don't do it, and everyone's going to understand what goes on there. And I'll bet you the Capitals players, they'll back them. And I guarantee to you their fans will back them. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm probably like everybody else. I'm really curious to see how this is going to go tonight. And, You know, Reeves is a guy in the past who is, as we've talked about, has advertised himself as Tom Wilson protection and or a Tom Wilson antidote. Solution. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Like, you know, sometimes it's the other thing, too, is you're right. They could wait till they're back in New York. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. I really don't know. But the thing I've wondered about is what happens if the Capitals say don't do it? It's happened before.
Of course it has. Absolutely it has. And listen, if I'm Peter Laviolette, one of the things that I'm saying to Tom Wilson is you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to do this. But I just would have a feeling that somewhere in the back of Tom Wilson's mind is I'm going to do it and we're just going to get it over with early and then we're going to play hockey.
Yeah, that could definitely happen too.
We'll see.
Tell you this though, like I wouldn't be too eager at the process, even if I was as big and strong as Tom Wilson.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be too eager at the process of knowing Ryan Reeves is on my menu tonight.
Listen, and there you got Reeves, you know, being asked about the PK Subban play and saying, no, I don't think it was clean, but we play them a lot of times. Like, oh my God. It's like,
but you know what?
You're already turning your attention to New Jersey.
First of all, that's him. Like, you ask him a question, you're going to get an honest answer. Yeah. But I also think that when you watched the way the Rangers went after Subban that night,
crying.
What did we hear crying. Last year about...
Yeah.
And you and I both agree that that wasn't on purpose. It was a bit careless, but it was definitely not an attempt to injure.
It's just a sloppy play. That's all.
Yeah. But like the whole thing the Rangers talked about last year was how like the organization felt they were soft and they didn't stand up for each other. So I think this is all about, this is not only about the Capitals, but when, you know, he said that yesterday, I was thinking this is about the mentality that the Rangers are trying to set for themselves.
Yeah.
And their coach is like that too. He's going to say to them, we stand up for each other. That's what we do. Yep. And that's who we are.
Yep.
And so I see this whole thing as not only Rangers Capitals. I see this whole thing as a mentality the Rangers are trying to create for themselves.
Well, listen, we look forward to a number of games tonight. You've got the Leafs and the Habs early, late game, the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. Blackhawks also face off against the Avalanche. 7:30 Eastern, the Rangers facing off against Washington. That one could be fireworks, or to Elliot's point, it might not be anything until they get back. Tune in and find out. You may have an intermission already done for you. Like, put it this way, Ryan Reeves may have just handed you guys may hand you guys an intermission tonight on Wednesday Night Hockey. We'll stand by to see that. Great stuff. Thanks, Reach.